الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we ask Him for help and we ask for His protection and we seek safety in Allah from the weakness in our own nafs, from the daifun in our own selves, and from the evil consequences of our deeds, what we do. We ask Allah to protect us from that weakness in ourselves and from the consequences of the bad things that we do. And whoever Allah guides, there's no one who can lead him astray. And who Allah finds deviating, there's no one to guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. Dear Muslims, Allah speaks to us in the book that is known as Al-Quran Majid, Al-Quran Kareem, the glorious book, the generous book. And Allah says to us, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqullaha haqqa tuqatih, wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O believers, have taqwa for Allah. Be careful of your duty to Allah. Be conscientious of your duty to Allah with the care which is due to Him, and do not die unless you are Muslims. Do not die unless you are truly Muslim. Not just do not die unless you are wearing clothes that can be identified with Muslims, or do not, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean do not die unless you go to the masjid, even unless you are going there sincerely to worship Allah. It doesn't mean just do not die unless you go around saying assalamu alaikum to people. No, it means to be submitting yourself to Allah. Don't let yourself ever be in a situation when you are not totally giving yourself to serve Allah, because you don't know when you're going to die. People are dying every day of all different ages. Children are dying. Babies are dying. Old people are dying. age has really got nothing to do with the time that Allah is going to call you. Even though you think you may live a long time, you don't know that. So be prepared at any time that an angel may come for your soul. And be sure that you are not disobeying Allah when that happens. And Allah also says to us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadidan yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti Allaha wa rasuluhu faqad faza fawzan azim. Again, Allah is addressing us, the believers. He's saying, O you who believe, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to the believers. Again, Allah is saying, be careful of your duty to Allah. Be conscientious, have taqwa for Allah, and speak the right word. We take a minute and just explain a little something about that. We've said it before, but it doesn't hurt to keep repeating it. The right word means the truth. And Allah wants us to know that we must speak truthfully to our own nafs. We must speak truthfully to our own selves, because in our own selves, Allah says in the Holy Quran, that He created us with daifan, He created us with a weakness, and Allah knows that the shaitan will exploit, will take advantage of that weakness to try to deceive us, to lie to ourselves, so that we will begin to think that we are going to be okay if we do something that is not right, that it's okay sometimes to do something that's not right. And if we're not honest with ourselves, it's never okay to do something that's not right. Listen, brothers, it's never okay to do something that's not right. I said one more time, it's never okay to do something that's not right. So if we are truthful with ourselves and we're tempted to do something that's not right, then we'll tell ourselves that's not right. We can't do it. So we must be very careful that we don't allow ourselves to get weak, so we fail to speak truthfully to our own nafs, because the Satan is going to deceive us if we are not strong enough to speak the truth to our nafs. And we know that the Satan, his whole mission is to try to deceive us so that we'll follow him into the hellfire. But if we are honest and truthful with ourselves and admit when we're wrong and ask Allah to forgive us and repent, in other words, that we do tawbah, then Allah will put our deeds into the right state. He'll take us away from the bad and put us in the right state. And then, if we get back in the right state, because we have to repent from the bad stuff if we want forgiveness. We can't say we want Allah to forgive us and keep doing the bad stuff. That's not going to merit Allah's forgiveness. We have to be sincere and say, Allah, please forgive me for being on the wrong path and help me to stay on the right path. And then we have to leave the wrong path. And then it says, Allah will forgive us our faults. And Allah says, whoever obeys Allah and his Rasul, he indeed achieves a mighty, mighty success. And so that's what we want. We want success. We weren't put here on this earth by Allah to be failures, because to fail in this test is to go to the hellfire. Allah did not create those of us who say we believe so we can go to the hellfire. There are many people that are going to go to the hellfire. But those of us that come to hear the message from Allah, we don't have a, what I would say, a record, a commission, or what I would say, orders to go to the hellfire. We come here because Allah has invited us to go to the Jannah. But we have to be careful, because we're going to be tested. So we're going to speak just briefly today. We want to speak just briefly today. And we want to talk about we want to talk about the unity, the unity of Allah's law. Unity means one. Unity means single. Okay? Allah's law is one. It's always been one. What is good now is good 10 million years ago. What is good now is good during the time of Abraham thousands of years ago. In fact, we'll talk just briefly about Abraham. It says, of the party of the believing servants was Abraham. This is from the Holy Quran translation. And it says that he came to his Rabb with a sound heart. What that means is that he didn't have a what we call a double mind. Some people have a double mind. Sometimes they want to do right, but then sometimes they allow their weakness in them to try to excuse them to do wrong, which is what we were just talking about. But he wasn't like that. His mind was sound. Only one thing was important to him, and that's serving Allah. That's how he came to Allah, with a heart to completely surrender and serve Allah. We're speaking about Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it says, he spoke to his father. He spoke to his father Azar. He spoke to his father, and he spoke to his people. And he asked them, he said, what is it that you're worshiping? Because in those days, the people had strayed away from La ilaha illallah. They were worshiping things they had made with their hands. In fact, Azar was one of the people that actually made things and sold them to the people so they could put them in their house and call them gods and worship them. And so Ibrahim said to his father and those people, he said, what is it that you're working, that you're worshiping? And he says, is it a falsehood? Is it false gods besides Allah that you desire? And then he asked him, he says, what is your opinion of the Lord of the world? And then he looked at the stars, and he looked at the stars knowing that Allah created the stars, and Allah was greater than the stars, just like he was greater than all these other things that the people were worshiping that they created with their hands. And he says, I feel sick. And he was teaching these people that they should not allow themselves to worship these other things that they had made or anything that was in creation. And he felt bad for them. And they turned away from him. They turned their backs on him. And then he looked at their gods, you know, even though they were turning their backs, he wanted to still teach them. And he asked their statues, their gods, he said, what is it that you eat? What are you eating? Or pardon me, what are you not eating? Why don't you eat? In other words. And he said, why aren't you speaking? He's speaking to these things made out of wood and made out of stone. He said, is there something wrong with you? Why don't you say something? He knew they couldn't say anything. And so then he attacked the idols, the statues. He knocked them down. And then they were like upset, you know. And they came rushing to him. And so he says, wait a minute, hold it. He says, why are you worshiping something that you made with your hands? He says, when Allah created you, and then what did you make? He said, Allah created you, you didn't make yourself. So they got angry, you know, because they were so accustomed to worshiping these things. They did not want to surrender. They did not want to change. They did not want to listen to the truth that Ibrahim, this is a young man too, Ibrahim, he was only maybe about 14 years old, but he was wise, and he was telling them, he says, listen, I'm not worshiping those things because I worship the one that created the stars. I worship the one that created everything. Why are you worshiping these things? And they got angry. So they said, let's put a building of wood, stack up wood, and put him in the fire. Put him in the fire, you know, like make a furnace and throw him in the fire. And so they tried to snare, they tried to trick him with this fire. Now we, obviously, when we think about fire, we think about the physical fire. If you light a match to a piece of paper or some wood, it's going to be like that kind of fire. But in the context we're talking about today, we want to look at it a little bit differently. In fire, it says in the Quran that they tried to trick him. So the fire is all of this deceitful stuff that will burn you up. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. And it says they designed a trick, a snare for him, but we made them to be the losers. We made them to be. They couldn't trick the man of God. They tried, but they couldn't trick the true man of God. And so he says, I am going unto my Lord who will guide me. I'm not following your deceitful tricks. You can't do me. You can't even burn me up with your physical fire, but you're not going to burn me up with this deceit either, he says, because my Lord will guide me. And so then he prayed, and he says, please bless me to be of the righteous. And we'll stop in terms of the reading of the Quran from this part right here, and we'll say this. Allah says that Allah has commanded for us, but it says for you, but I say for us, the same thing that he commanded for Noah. And that which he gave to Noah, he gave to Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says he gave him revelation, as well as that which he had commanded to Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, even Maryam, alayhi salam. So he says, Allah gives us an order. He says, hold up the true faith. Hold up the true faith. Stay on the right path and do not break your, what we say, tawheed. Do not allow anyone to take you away from la ilaha illallah. Now, I wanted to cover something, and I'm going to make it short. But we want to talk about the unity of Allah's law. Unity means oneness. We know that the word unity means oneness, or it means the sameness. And the word law, which is actually called al-deen, it also means obligation. The word of Allah to us is an obligation. And we know that deen also means a rule of action prescribed by an authority. It also means a collection of systems or rules. But the basic key word, deena, it actually means a debt, to be indebted. And a debt means an obligation. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran that he has commanded for us today the same law, the same deen, meaning the same way of life, or lifestyle. In America we call way of life a lifestyle, but the same way of life with the same rules for upright conduct that he commanded for the prophets, for Noah and Ibrahim, for Adam actually also, and Musa and Isa ibn Maryam, and for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same law he commands for us today, he's always commanded for the people. It is therefore very, very important for us to understand, dear brothers, that Allah does not change. Allah does not change. Why would anyone change? Because there's something that they need to improve, or there's something happening that makes them actually decrease. For an example, an old man, like I'm 75, we'll be in 2 weeks, I've changed. I can't walk as fast as I used to. I can't run as fast as I used to. I can't fight as good as I used to. I used to be able to box. I used to be a really good boxer, you know, but I can't box. I would be afraid to get in a fight now and try to box somebody your age, because as we get older, many, many of us may not get weaker, but most people get weaker when they get older. We change. But Allah does not change. He never will be weaker. He never will be less intelligent. He never will be less humble. He never will be less peaceful. He's always going to be the same, because he was self-created, and he was self-created in total perfection. So he doesn't have to change. He's certainly not going to become less, but he will never change. So when we attempted to deviate from our Islamic life, which is the same life, the same life as all of the prophets were commanded. All the prophets were commanded. This life that we have, all of the prophets were commanded to live this life, to submit 100%, to submit ourselves to Allah totally. And the shaitan seeks to deceive us. The shaitan seeks to trick us, to deceive us with the idea, brothers, that we should adjust our life. We should adjust our life to the modern times, that we should change our way of living to fit with the rest of the popular culture, okay? You know, so we have to remind ourselves that Allah says to remain steadfast, not to allow ourselves to deviate because the people are deviating, but to stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We should remind ourselves that Allah has commanded us to stay firmly, firmly committed to this Islamic way of life, and not to try to change it, not to try to alter it, not to deviate it, not to go along with the idea that in the modern time, if you live in a Muslim society where the women have always covered themselves up modestly since at least the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even before that when the people were following the prophets of Allah. And now you have the people from Europe coming to the Muslim countries. They are taking advantage of the nice weather. Most of the year the weather is real nice. It gets cold up in Europe. Sometimes it's raining a lot. They want to go someplace where it's nice and sunny, where the water is pure and clear. And so they say, let's go to Egypt, or let's go to Jordan, or let's go down to some other country and let's build a nice resort so the Europeans can come down there. Mm-hmm. And so the European people come down there and they tell their women that they don't have to dress properly. Does that mean the Muslims are supposed to follow them? You have Muslims that are going to be working in these hotels. You have Muslims that are going to be driving taxis, taking these people to these hotels. They're going to see these European women dress decently. Does that mean they should allow their women to dress like that? No, because we're not following those people, because they're following the shaitan. We're following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we must stay on the right path and not allow ourselves to be deviating because the shaitan is inviting those people to do things that are not righteous. Alhamdulillah. So, the believers say, I believe in the lifestyle which Allah has revealed in His book. That is the lifestyle. That's the way of life. That's the deen to which I will remain firmly committed, no matter how strenuously the shaitan invites the people to his way. Dear Muslims, our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is according to Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he said, this is Muhammad speaking sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that a time will come when the available men will be so scarce that, and the available women will be so abundant. Abundant means prosperous, numerous, many, many, many women, that the available men will be so scarce, I mean, there's few men that are available, and available women will be so abundant that 40 women, that's 4 times 10, will be available for each man for pleasure. This is from Prophet Muhammad. This is actually a hadith that was passed on by Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu. Think about that. Walk down the street, and 40 women, maybe they won't all be as beautiful as the next one, but you'll have to pick. You'll have to pick. Think about that. Now, dear Muslims, we know that that's talking about today. I don't know about in countries where you come from, but I know you can go right down, up to Atlanta on a Saturday night, and you can go, if you were to go to nightclubs, and I know you don't go to nightclubs, you could see the place to be crowded with women, with single women looking for men. Some places they say that it's at least 20 women to each man. I've seen people, you know, be honest with you, I've seen situations where women would go someplace and they would be crowded together and it would be like hungry animals looking for something to eat because there's so many women and the men is not available. A lot of the men were killed in wars, a lot of men been put in prison. And, you know, of course, when women have children, they usually have more girls than they have men. So, we know that we're talking about a situation that's actually going on right now, even though Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this 1,400 and some years ago, it's actually happening today. But, does that circumstance change our requirement to limit ourselves to no more than 4 wives? Just because it's all those extra women out there, that doesn't change the law. The law is in the book of the Quran. It says you can't have any more than 4 at one time. I don't care if it's 40 available to you. You have to pick. You can't have no more than 4 at one time. And that's really only permissible if we can be equally kind and fair and just to all of our wives. If you can't be fair and just, if you're going to love this one so much and you're going to ignore that one, that's not allowed. You can't have more than one wife if you're going to treat them like that. You see, the Quran says don't leave any woman hanging. Hanging means that she has needs that you are not fulfilling. So you're going to spend all your time taking this one woman because she's real pretty You love her so much. You're going to take her to this place. You're going to take her to that place. You're going to be kind to her. You're going to use your time with her. And the other woman, you're not going to never spend no time with. That's not right. If you're going to do that, you don't need but one wife. Because the Quran says you have to be fair. You have to be fair. So we must understand, dear Muslim, that it is not the circumstances of society, not just society that the shaitan is promoting, it's not those circumstances, and it's not our appetite. You know what appetite is. It's when you get hungry for food. It's called appetite. We have appetite for sex, too. We have appetite to be with beautiful women. But that's not what should control our thinking. That's not what should control our behavior. What should control our behavior is the law of Allah and the sunnah of his prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which he has revealed in his holy books. And he has revealed through his prophets from Noah, actually from Adam, because he was also a prophet, but from Noah to the time of Muhammad, to the time of Musa, to the time of Isa, and now in the time of Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, dear Muslim, let us remain firmly committed to our Islamic way of life, to our deen, deen of al-Islam, and let us not allow the temptation, the allurements, the enticements of this popular culture, which is spreading all over. As I say, it's not just in America, it's not just in Europe, it's not just in Japan. This is spreading all over. I've been to the Middle East, and it's spreading everywhere. We've got to stand firm for what Allah has given us in his book and through the sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if we do that, Allah will bless us with success. But it's going to be a fight. It's a strong, strong battle going on right now. But it's the last battle. This is Satan's last chance. It's like he sees that he's going to be defeated by Al-Islam, by the Islamic way of life. And so now he's putting his strongest efforts to try to weaken the Muslims so that we'll go along with the society of evil that he wants to create. So let us never forget that Allah has given us all the tools we need with the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad so that we can win this battle. But we have to pray. We have to make salat. We have to be firm about obligating ourselves to come to the Jummah. There are times when we know we can't come, but we should come whenever we can. You know, I've heard that the Jummah day, I'm not trying to criticize anyone here. I'm not trying to criticize brothers before. But I'm going to share this with you. About 17 years ago, when I first became the imam of this Muslim community on this base, which we call this Muslim community on this base, Masjid Ibrahim, after Ibrahim, we've been talking about Ibrahim. So we decided that we took a vote at one of the Jummas, and the Muslims decided to call our community Masjid Ibrahim. Why? Because Ibrahim was in the middle of the fire, and yet he did not allow the fire to consume him. We're in the middle of the fire here. You see how it is. You see all of the things going on around here. I'm not saying these are bad people, but these people will go to the liquor store tonight and they'll buy cases of alcohol so they can get drunk. Then they'll go into their house and they'll turn on the TV or they turn on the internet looking for pornography all night. And then ones that are not married, they'll go out to nightclubs and try to find somebody they can commit zina with. And here we are standing firm, just like Ibrahim in the fire, saying, La ilaha illallah. You know, so we have to also say Muhammad Rasulullah, because he is the one that is our guide that we can actually relate to more, because we have this history, we have this seerah, we have this hadith that shows that no matter what happened in the society, he always stood very, very firm, as well as Ibrahim and other prophets. So it is the people who believe and who do not mix up their belief with wrongdoing and wrong thinking. These are the ones that are secure, and these are the ones that are on right guidance. Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana frigala alayna subhanahu wa ta'ala lakta ma'am sunna ala kama kafirin. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. استغفر الله. So as we go back out into the society, let us not only hold on to the rope that would never fail us, but let us also, through our good example, invite others. Because believe me, I know this for a fact. People are watching us. And they want an example. They want somebody. Many of them want to go to hell. They don't realize that they want to go to hell. They just want to go to the place or to the things that will get them in hell. But there are many who don't want to live like that, but they want to see an example of people so they can learn how to avoid going into the hellfire. And God has established Al-Islam through Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as being that example. And we are the followers of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so we should be that example. So just keep in mind that we have a big responsibility. Not if we maybe might not be what I would say a speaker or khatib, but our life is a khutbah. What we do is a bigger khutbah than someone standing up and speaking out of their mouth, because you can say things out of your mouth, but if you're not living that life, then you're a munafiq, you're a hypocrite. We don't want to be that. So even if we don't get the opportunity, and we will at least sometime have the opportunity to tell somebody about Islam with our mouth, but more importantly, we should be always telling people about Islam through our behavior, through the way we live. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka Hamidum Majid, fil alamin Majid.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Shukrullah, Allah. Shukrullah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Qamat as-salatu wa qamat as-salah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Allahu akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب طوب عليهم ولا
الضالين
آمين. لإلاف قريش إلافهم رحلة شتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمه من جائع وآمنهم من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله صمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم.